Tonight, I would like to share a guided meditation with you, which is 2,500 years old. Probably the first one recorded in world's history. It's the Anapanasati of the Buddha. So this will be responding to the need for some precise instruction. We will walk through the Anapana in a more complete way than what you know from most of the traditional Goenka retreats. The Anapanasati Sutta has originated on a full moon night in northern India, and it is one of the rare occasions, it's the only one that I know of, that the Buddha has announced a teaching. And he invited all the practitioners, the monks and nuns, to come together for that full moon in the place, I don't know which place it was, whether it was Rajgir or which place it actually was, I forgot. But he really gave them time, he gave them advance notice, 2 weeks, so they could come from all the different places. And he sat down with the words in the introduction that so many are practicing this, you know, practicing on this khandhas, others practicing this and that. He was enumerating all the different teachings that he had given so far. And then some are practicing mindfulness of breathing, developing, cultivating awareness with the help of breath. And on that occasion then, he guided the practitioner through the 16 steps of Anapanasati, which in groups of four are exactly also what he taught in the Satipatthana and Mahasatipatthana Sutta. Now, again, there's nothing new here. I walk with you through the 16 steps, probably. But just maybe the taste with which I'm doing it is a little bit different. You will get a Mahamudra taste with these good old teachings, which are our common heritage. So I might make a break in the middle, but feel free to move, to change your position anytime you need during the meditation. Yes, if you feel like that, follow the steps and imagine now that we are together with the Buddha, and at night under the full moon, of course, the noises were getting less and the Buddha could be heard very well, as if with loudspeakers. And he announced this teaching, and everyone was very keen and would sit in meditation. And the Buddha said, yes, settle on a comfortable seat, direct your gaze in front of you. But you may do this exercise also with closed eyes. However, he didn't say that. Direct the attention in front of you. And of course, letting go of all worldly concerns. If possible, with crossed legs, in a secluded place, practice like this. Breathing in. I know that I'm breathing in. Breathing out. I know that I'm breathing out. Breathing in deeply. I know that I'm breathing in deeply. I'm breathing out deeply. That is this knowing that this is a long out-breath. So allow yourself to take a few deep breaths and follow them attentively, as if your mindfulness, awareness were riding on the breath. Never separated from the breathing experience. Pay attention to the variations in breathing. When taking a short breath, know that this is a short breathing in and a short breathing out. Sometimes longer and deeper, sometimes shorter. Many slight variations in breathing. Be aware as if riding the breath. And then the Buddha continues and says, breathing in, feel your whole body breathing. Breathing out, feel your whole body breathing. He uses the term pranakaya. Kaya means body, prana is breath and subtle energy. Our whole body participates in the breathing. So I encourage you to become this breathing body, to feel it completely from within, breathing in and breathing out. Breathing in and breathing out, we feel all the physical sensations. And we feel them with this deeply equanimous attitude, without any preferences. Breathing in, we feel how the whole body is alive. So many sensations, and they are all prana, they are all this vitality. Breathing out, breathing in. A breathing, very vital organism. And since we experience this without clinging and aversion, the physical sensations, the physical formations, they harmonize. The prana flows more harmoniously. Just continue with breathing in and breathing out, feeling the whole body and experiencing the equal taste of all these sensations. They all arise and they all pass away. That's the equal taste. And this breathing body is also hearing, seeing, smelling, and tasting. These are also called physical formations by the Buddha. Breathing in and breathing out. Be aware of all these physical formations without any clinging. Breathing in, breathing out, and at the same time open to the experiences of all five outer senses. By now, the breathing in and breathing out experience has become a good support. We will always return to it while exploring the rest of our experience. The Buddha makes us notice that this equanimous breathing in and breathing out is not only calming the physical formations, but gives a certain joy to the mind. A subtle sense of being more happy, more relaxed, more open. And he suggests that breathing in and breathing out, we are aware of this sense of well-being in the mind and then also in the body. Breathing in and breathing out, we experience the joy of breathing and of being free of clinging to the physical formations. And now we are invited to turn our attention to the mental formations, the movements of thoughts, impulses, images, labeling, knowing a chirping sound to be a bird, all of that, this mental activity. Breathing in and breathing out with the same relaxed attitude, we are aware of mental processes. And in the Mahamudra tradition, we would say we understand them to be also prana, moving energies. Breathing in and breathing out. We notice the impermanence, the change in all these fluctuating experiences. No attachment and no aversion. Breathing in and breathing out all these mental formations are noticed, experienced, and they pass on. They pass on without further comment. Breathing in, breathing out with awareness. With this spacious awareness in which all the mental movements can arise and liberate themselves. And the Buddha says, breathing in, we notice the pacification of mental formations. Breathing out, we notice how the mental formations become more calm. And the Buddha then tells us to go still a little deeper towards a more subtle observation, to turn our attention to the mind itself. Breathing in and breathing out, we're aware of just how the mind is. Is it relaxed or rather tense? Wide or narrow? Liberated or still clinging? And breathing in and breathing out, we are in a completely open way, aware of how the mind is right now. And the Buddha says then, breathing in, we bring joy to the mind. Breathing out, we bring joy to the mind. He is pointing to this deep relaxation, this deep openness towards the way we are. However the mind is, breathing in, we relax the mind, breathing out, we relax even more. Breathing in, we calm the mind. Breathing out, we calm the mind. This is simply the result of deep acceptance, deep relaxation. No more clinging. No aversion. This peaceful mind can be a source of attachment. So the Buddha continues saying, breathing in, we liberate the mind. Breathing out, we liberate the mind. We liberate it from all attachment to calm and peace. Just becoming natural. Breathing in and breathing out naturally. And this natural, undistracted presence also has a natural clarity. We are very aware of our experience. And we see how it is. The Buddha says, breathing in, we see, breathing out, we see. We see impermanence, we see the dynamic nature of life. Breathing in, we see that there is nothing to hold on to, nothing to grasp. And breathing out, we see that there is nothing to grasp. And since we see that there is nothing to grasp, that everything is changing, nothing is permanent, then breathing in and breathing out, we see that the grasping is getting less. There's less and less clinging in the mind, less and less identification. Breathing in and breathing out, we see the dukkha is getting less and less. The diminishing of stress, because there's less and less clinging. And if we were to continue as yogins, yogis and yoginis, we would see at some point the cessation, the end of our suffering, the end of our grasping. The end of all illusion. And the Buddha concludes saying, breathing in and breathing out, we see just how natural it is. The full release, the fully released dimension of being. And after that guided meditation, the Buddha said, practicing like that, you perfect the seven wings of awakening, you perfect all the qualities, you are liberated from all that needs to be liberated. And there is nothing to add. This is exactly how we can practice. The support here is the breath, but the support could be a different one. However, what we do while we practice, this can't be changed much. We have to somehow come to terms with the physical formations, you know, all the senses, relaxing, all the grasping. We have to come to terms with the mental formations, all of what's happening in the mind. Where the relaxation has to go into the deeper layers of mind, you know, there where there are the most subtle tensions, where we don't even notice movements. We just notice a certain way of being, an attitude. And we relax into that as well. This is beyond the easy-to-see conceptual mind. So the meditation goes into that non-conceptual area. And then in all of that, we see the change, the impermanence, which is another way for seeing nothing to grasp. It's like seeing that there is no substance, no self in all of that. We become seeing. Yes, we are seeing. And that's the word the Buddha changes there. Before, in all the other instructions, he uses other verbs, and then when he comes to the last steps, then this is vipassana. This is the seeing that the Buddha is talking about, seeing how it truly is. And this is what in Mahamudra is called sitting in the view, meditating in the view. So Mahamudra is practicing these last steps as the main practice. While the other part, that which is calming the mind, pacifying, accepting, opening up, this is the so-called preliminary. It's the shamatha practice. And then the actual seeing, this is the main practice. And to sit and what we see is exactly what you are being told in normal vipassana courses. See the impermanence, you know, see how it is. It is just happening. There's not my body, there is just physical experience, physical sensation. There's not my thought, there's just thinking. Sit in seeing that. Sit in seeing just how it is. And then it will get deeper and deeper. And the grasping will become less, the open states of mind become more. And this is how you can practice. You have your microphone? No.
I guess I'm supposed to say something. No? Just looking at your faces, it's really enough. But I want to suggest that step by step, it can be very gentle walking the path. And also, actually, by slowing down and really marinating in each and every step that we just heard and practiced. Remember, it's very ancient and it's been working for so many people for so many years, just slowing down and marinating in each and every step. can be in and of itself a doorway, a path to freedom. So in a sense, yes, it's a gradual practice, and now we're going step by step by step by step. And yet, even the smallest step we take, and there's no I and mine involved, where is the step and where is the practice and who is practicing? Maybe the key here, as well as many other arenas, is to remember to let go. Remember to let go deeply. To let go of the achiever, of the meditator, of the one who needs to get somewhere. At other times we can pick her up if we need to. And maybe levitate, turn more towards the actual real experience than the thinking about the experience or trying to understand the experience, which is also beneficial at times. You understand what I'm saying? It's kind of clear, right? Kind of. Good. Yes.
I thought I would hear you singing, but ready for a little song? The Tara mantra, you know? I said we would repeat it so that you can carry it home with you. It's a song of freedom. And of course, you can sing it also in a rap melody. Doesn't have to be slow and beautiful. It can have power also. But tonight, again, the slow one. Om Tarin Om Tare Tu Tare.